The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We got rivalry games, we got big brands that are doing well, we got teams that seem to be falling apart, and we got MAC-ranked matchups. It's a big addition to College Football Live. He's Coach Jim Moore. I'm Jason Fitch. We may have David Pollack, we don't know, but we got a lot to get into, so we will get right to it, and we do it the same way every single Friday. Coach, we like to start with a little bit of a rundown of the Saturday slate, and we'll tell you some of the biggest moments you need. We start with Florida taking on Texas A&M, number 12 A&M at home against number 4 Florida, and that explosive Gator offense. Coach Jimbo Fisher has lost 12 straight as a coach against AP top five opponents, including 0-7 with Texas A&M. The Aggies have lost those games by an average of 19 points per game. Also on the slate, the 14th ranked Vols. All they do is win, win, win no matter what. Well, winners of 8 straight, but they've feasted on some mighty tasty cupcakes along the way. They're in for a dogfight at number 3, Georgia. Georgia's outscored Tennessee 122-26. In their last 3 meetings, or butt whoopings, as it were. We'll see where that one goes moving forward. Also, number 19, Virginia Tech, looking to start 3-0 for the first time since 2017, taking on 8th-ranked North Carolina. They're riding a 5-game winning streak that dates back to last season, their longest winning streak since 2015, which was also the last time the Tar Heels had cracked the top 10. Well, they're there again, so we'll see how they handle that moment. And, of course, Miami versus Clemson. I feel like we've been talking about this one for a few weeks. Since 2015, Clemson has been AP number 1 for 19 weeks. In that span, 6-0 in ACC play when ranked number 1. But Miami's 9 career wins against AP number 1 teams, tied with Alabama for the most in the AP poll era. I told you it is a big, big weekend across the landscape. And Coach, what we want to do is take a little time with some of these different matchups. I know you're particularly excited for Florida, Texas A&M. Let's take a look at that one. Let's dive into it here. You got to look at today's more driven players. We'll start there. Presented by Goodyear, Kyle Trask has 10 passing touchdowns, which makes him the 3rd player in SEC history with 10 passing TDs to the first 2 games for his team. The guy on the other end of those passes, tight end Kyle Pitts, has 6 receiving touchdowns this season. Coach, what are you looking for in this one?
Well, I love this matchup. I love this duo, this tandem right here. You're talking about Kyle Trask, who is so accurate right now, and he has the ability to throw his receivers open. Now, he's dealing with a 6'6", 250-pound tight end slash receiver in Kyle Pitts, who has so much length that he just can throw it anywhere near him, and he goes and gets it. This guy is reshaping the position, much like guys like Kellen Winslow did, Tony Gonzalez did, Vernon Davis did, Gronk is doing. You know, you can put him in so many different spots and create matchup problems for defensive coordinators that it's almost impossible to get doubles. He's got 6 touchdown passes from 6 different pre-snap alignments. I mean, that I was a defensive coordinator. I tried to defend some of those great NFL players, and it is really tough when you're able to move him around and work him in those different spots.
So dial back for a second, or go back to Kyle Trask a little bit. Somebody that, Coach, obviously we expected some good things from Florida, but I don't think anybody, if we rewound a month ago, thought Trask was going to do this. What's been the key for his big jump?
I think hard work. You know, it started when he was a freshman, and the extra work that he was willing to put in on a daily basis on the field, after practice, in the film room, you know, creating this amazing rapport with Kyle Pitts that goes back to when they were both freshmen, a confidence in himself because he worked so hard. And now every game that he plays, he's going to get better and better because that confidence is perpetual. It just perpetuates itself in week in and week out. I love watching him play because he looks so calm in the pocket. He looks so calm when he gets out of the pocket. He looks like he's got such great command. You mentioned his 10 touchdown passes. He's so secure with the football. He makes great decisions. He's unflappable. And a quarterback's very best buddy is a big, lengthy tight end, because when all else breaks down, you throw it there. You know, I was with Dan Fouts and Kellen Winslow, and he said, hey, man, I'm just going to throw it to the big guy. Well, the big guy was Kellen Winslow, and that's what a quarterback loves.
All right, Coach. Well, we got other matchups to get into, although I think if Pollock were here, he would yell at us. We should have talked defense. That's not fun. Let's move forward to Tennessee, Georgia. I just mentioned it. Tennessee, 8 straight wins, which we're talking a lot about. And, you know, Coach, in fairness, I lived in Nashville for 20 years. I understand how important the Vols are to everybody there. But they've beaten 8 teams that are questionable, right? So what do you look for when you look at Tennessee versus Georgia in this matchup?
I love the way that Tennessee is balanced on offense, but especially their run game. They're running the football. And I'm an old school guy at heart. I think you have to be able to run the football well in order to win football games on a consistent basis against good teams. You know, throwing the ball is fun and it puts up points, but you dominate a game when you run it. You keep your defense off the field when you run it. And you look what they're doing here running the football, and it's really fun to watch. And to me, it shows an element of toughness that you want to see. You know, on the other side with Georgia, I love what I've seen out of Stetson Bennett. You know, this guy has progressed the first 2 weeks. He looks comfortable and calm in the pocket. Once again, he has not thrown an interception, so he's making good decisions with the ball. What I think Georgia needs to do better this week and take some pressure off of Bennett is they need to run it a little bit better. They're about 3.7 yards per carry. I think they need to make a better commitment to running the football to take a little bit of pressure off of Bennett. And if Bennett falters, they've still got a couple of quarterbacks in DeJuan Mathis and maybe JT Daniels that they can go to, but I don't think Stetson Bennett's going to falter. I think he's going to continue to get better.
That is an interesting point, Coach, because let's face it, Stetson Bennett, a few weeks ago, we weren't sure who he was going to be as a starter. Now it feels like he's locked in from a coaching standpoint. When you got a guy that's hot, but you know you've got other talented players that could come into the position, how do you find the balance if he starts to cool off between going to another hand or trying to feed him?
That's a tough one. You know, I think every coach would like to have consistency at that position because it helps your team. It helps the psyche of your team. It helps every player feel a little bit more comfortable. But if someone starts to falter and you have a guy that can go in and maybe ignite your team a little bit, then that's okay. But I tell you what, it's really dicey. You know, because you don't want to steal the confidence that a guy like Stetson Bennett is building in himself by just yanking him if he doesn't play well right away. So I think you have to find that balance, and there has to come a point in time if he's not playing well, we say, you know, Stetson, here's the deal. We love you. You're still our starter, but we need to jumpstart this offense. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to go to DeJuan or we're going to go to JT, but you're still my guy, okay? You're just struggling a little bit today, but it's about the team.
One team that we know doesn't have any need to jumpstart their quarterback is North Carolina. I mentioned it earlier. Top 10 team. We're all in love with Sam Howell. I get it. At this point, Virginia Tech and Virginia Tech going to North Carolina. What are you looking for in this one, Coach?
Here's my concern with Sam Howell. I love him, okay? I think that he's really good. But it's Virginia Tech's defense that concerns me here. Virginia Tech gets after the passer. I mean, they can really rush the passer. They are relentless. They have 13 sacks on the season. I mean, they come at you with 4, 5, 6, but they can always get there with 4. They squish the pocket. They squeeze the pocket. They don't leave escape lanes. I mean, watch some of these things and the clothes that they make on these quarterbacks. You can't get out of there fast enough. And when I look at Sam Howell, my concern is this, is he's been sacked 6 times. He's thrown 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Now, I think he moves around well in the pocket, and I think that he finds receivers downfield. And I love this throw that he made last week where he got out of the pocket. He knew where the line of scrimmage was. He found a guy downfield. But I'm not sure that he's going to be able to be as poised as he's been in his first couple games when he's under the relentless pressure that Virginia Tech's going to put on him when he's in the pocket.
That's such a good point, Coach. And look, we've all talked about Sam Howell and how great he was last year. We've been waiting for a leap this year. And I think, you know, in fairness, this is such a strange season anyway. So when you talk about being sacked, how much of that do you put on the quarterback versus how much you put on the offensive line in these situations?
Well, I think it's not just the offensive line. It's the running backs. Are the receivers getting open? Are they running the right routes? Are they getting separation? So I think it's usually a team proposition. I think each one is a different proposition. Each one is a different set of circumstances. But I just look at the numbers, okay? So whether it's receivers getting open, okay, or it's the lineman blocking or the running back stepping up and taking on a blitzing linebacker or the quarterback getting rid of the ball on time, he's been sacked 6 times, and he's going against a ferocious pass rush this week. So I think we'll know early in the game if he's able to settle down, if his offensive line, his backs are able to block for him, his receivers are able to get open downfield, if they can just slow down that pass rush by running the football a little bit, getting some into some third and shorts, things like that. listen, I'm a Sam Howell. I like him. I think he's going to be a great, great quarterback. But he needs to make a big, giant jump this week against a really fine defense.
Well, let's stick in the ACC with one more big ranked matchup everybody's watching. It's because we're hyped on Miami. I mean, we talk about Miami every week. But in this particular matchup, Coach, it might not be the quarterback of Miami that you're looking at here when you talk about the big difference maker, right?
Well, it's not a lot different than what we're talking about with Tennessee. When you can run the football and you can run it effectively, then you open up an entire game plan. And what Miami can do is they can run the football. Their quarterback, as you saw there, Derek King can run it. Harris can run it. They're running for over 200 yards a game. But they're facing a Brett Venables defense that I think they're giving up 2.2 yards per carry, Clemson is, on defense. 2.2 yards per carry. I mean, you know how great that is? That's fantastic. And I think of Brent Venables a lot like I think Bill Belichick. He's able to come up with a scheme each week to take care of what his opponent does best. Now, Trevor Lawrence, oh, my goodness. You know, this guy, I keep looking for a flaw, and I can't find one. I mean, the way he moves in the pocket, the way he manages the game, the toughness he shows, his decisions with the football. He has not thrown an interception. He has receivers all around. He's got great confidence now here in Armani Rogers. Look at that tiptoe catch at the back of the end zone. He's got Travis Etienne out of the backfield, averaging 19.1 yards per reception, not per rush. So he just hit the calm that he shows, the confidence that he exudes, the poise that he infuses on his whole team. I don't know how you stop this guy. You know, I love Miami's defense. I love their pass rush. I can't wait to watch my guy Jalen Phillips try to get to Trevor. I hope he does a couple times. But, boy, he makes it so tough, and he is so great at spreading the ball around.
Coach, you just real quick here, you just mentioned Etienne. Are we giving him enough love considering how strong he's playing this year?
No, but we haven't for 2 years. He's the two-time returning ACC Offensive Player of the Year, and we don't talk about him. But that's because Trevor Lawrence he's great. And I don't like to use the word great too often, but when I watch him every week, I just marvel at him. I say, my goodness, this is a great player. This is going to be crazy. He has an opportunity, in my opinion, and this is based on 35 years of coaching good quarterbacks, going against Joe Montanas and Paytons and all those guys. I see a guy that has the potential to be the best quarterback that ever played the game. That's going out there, isn't it?
He's throwing out strong words here. Don't forget, you got to watch the game, obviously. 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC, Miami at Clemson. I love what Coach said, Miami's going to want to run the ball. Well, I want to be able to bench 400 pounds, too, but I'm not sure it's that easy. You got to check out the game, though. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturday on ABC. Now, there are a few things in the world better than randomly fried foods at the Texas State Fair in the annual Red River Showdown. We can't eat stuffed fried taco cones, but we can preview the game between Oklahoma and Texas. We will do it next on College Football Live.
College Football Live is brought to you by Allstate. You've never been in better hands.
This Saturday, you will only find them here. Number one Clemson and number two Alabama. Saturday in prime time on ESPN and ABC.
Here's a look at the weekend matchups presented by Cars.com. Boy, there's a bunch of good ones there. You got Arkansas facing off with Auburn, who's looking to avoid consecutive losses. At the end of the night, you have the reunion of Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin when Ole Miss hosts Alabama. But all eyes are going to be on the Red River Showdown between Texas and Oklahoma, scheduled for noon Eastern. Obviously, you don't want to miss that. And speaking of things you don't want to miss, Tom Rinaldi always does great work. Well, he specifically has done some great work digging up the untold story of Mike Leach's fake script he used in Oklahoma to fool Texas. Check a little of this out.
Everyone here knows about this game.
The Red River rivalry is heated up. Touchdown, Texas!
Touchdown, Sooners! Williams got him on the play!
But there's something about one of the games in this rivalry that, well, most people don't know.
I had heard this story before, but not in any kind of official or formal way.
Everybody likes a good caper, and everybody wants to know something the other guy doesn't know.
Call it the Cotton Bowl Caper. The year was 1999. And making his debut in the rivalry was a mysterious new character calling plays for OU.
I know that we got to do anything we can to get an edge and to try to keep them off balance and try to get them to squander as many plays as we can.
The Sooners were heavy underdogs, and on Wednesday night, just 3 days before the game, Leach had an idea. More like a play script scheme.
We wanted to just see how honest Texas was, so we decided to write up a script, a dummy script.
The challenge for Leach in the decoy script was to come up with complementary plays to the actual one. So if you were running a play to the left, you wanted the decoy script to say something was going to the right.
The next part of the plot, call it the drop. Leach used one of his players pregame to deploy the decoy so Texas would be sure to find it.
He's like, I want you to run past their sideline, and as you're running up the tunnel, I want you to take the script and act like you're putting it in your belt loop and let it fall out onto the ground. It was kind of the first real, like, espionage I'd ever been a part of.
One of their GAs is wandering by, and, oh, what's this? A piece of paper. He looks at it, and his eyes get kind of big, and he sort of hides it and looks around to see if anybody saw him get it.
Sure enough, the fake play script made its way straight to the Texas locker room.
We all thought it was real because we thought that the alternative would be just so far-fetched that somebody would go through the trouble to create a fake call sheet and actually leave it and drop it, you know, where we would find it.
Carl Reese takes it up to the press box. He starts studying the script, trying to figure out what defense they're going to call to match up the script.
When I wasn't calling defenses, I was looking at it, and it was a huge distraction.
And on the second play of the game, the script says double reverse pass.
We were trying to get them over there to the left. We hit Savage, and everybody was over to the left, and Savage was to the right.
So on first down, Heupel wide open is the freshman Savage. Touchdown, Oklahoma.
It's very hard in the course of a football game to go back and see a wide receiver at any level of football that wide open.
Going up top, Jackson one-on-one, turns around with a catch to the end zone.
As the game went on, it was a catastrophe.
By the time it was 17-0 Sooners, Coach Reese had seen enough of the so-called script.
I grabbed it, wadded up in a tight ball, and there was a trash can sitting over the corner. I gave it a toss, and there it was. Got rid of it.
After trashing the script and calling their original defenses, Texas outscored Oklahoma 38-11 the rest of the way.
48 yards, Cabil to the end zone.
Over 20 years later, the caper has come to light, and so has the lesson.
The lesson is, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Don't ever try to pick up my scripts or steal my signals, because you don't know what may be in store for you.
I'm in love with everything I'm seeing there, Coach. We got to ask you about the game, but first, I don't take for granted. I'm talking to a coach, right? Coach, have you ever done something like this? Maybe got tried to get away with something?
No. I've had it done to me. I found scripts. I found practice plans. I found a Saints practice plan once in the Superdome when we practiced there on a Friday. It happened to be an accurate script. I was sitting in the press box talking to Bill Walsh before the Saints played the 49ers on a Monday night game, and I was with the Saints and saw the 15-play script, you know, his famous first 15. Told our defensive coordinator, Steve Sidwell, about it, and the very first play was not what he had on his script. So I said, well, let's just get away from that. I think sometimes you can hamstring yourself or all the preparation you've done in a week if you start paying attention to what a team is telling you they might do based on something that you're not sure about. What tells the truth is the film and the study that you do during the week.
All right, so, Coach, let's get into this game. Texas-Oklahoma season hasn't started for either team the way they hoped. Who needs this game more?
Both need it. I mean, you know, Oklahoma, if they lose three in a row, I mean, the college football world might stop spinning. Texas, you know, are they listening to the noise? Are they listening to things that are being said about them out there? Can they recover from a devastating loss that they had last week? You know, I don't see them losing two in a row either, but I'm going to pick Oklahoma in this game, and I say that reluctantly because I'm not a big fan of Oklahoma's defense. Now, look, I like Spencer Rattler. I think he's a gunslinger. I think he makes plays. He's been a little bit careless with the football, which is something a young guy can do, but I think he's getting better every each week. But what concerns me is Oklahoma's defense. I don't think they play tough defense. I don't think they tackle well, and I that sounds very critical, and I guess it is critical, but it's what my eyes tell me. So even though that is said, I still like Oklahoma here for the simple fact is I don't think they're going to lose three in a row.
Yeah, it's tough to see them losing three in a row, but you're right. I mean, both of these fan bases are going to freak out with the outcome of it. So obviously that's a big part of what they're going to get into tomorrow. But don't forget to check out Game Day coming up. Got some great stuff going in there. Clemson's quiet superstar. I asked Coach about it earlier. You can see a great feature on Travis Etienne. Plus, all aboard the Lane train. Tom Rinaldi going to talk to Lane Kiffin. That's always interesting in and of itself. And not done there, Gene Wojciechowski going to talk to Lincoln Riley. You can check out Game Day Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN, as always.
This Heisman Update is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy.
Let's take a look at the Heisman Update brought to you by Nissan. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, co-favorites, even though Fields hasn't even played a game as the Big Ten doesn't start until October 24th. Kyle Trask following behind with the third best odds. Coach, it's never too early to take a look at this. Who you got early in the Heisman race?
Trevor Lawrence, that's an easy one for me right now. The guy I'd throw in the mix, though, is Travis Etienne. You know, as we talked about earlier in the show, the things that he adds to that offense and to that team go largely unnoticed because of the greatness of Trevor Lawrence, but I think he deserves to be in the discussion.
I like that, Coach. I would also add, though, I think Trask is going to have an opportunity to pick up a lot of momentum, right? Florida plays a tough schedule this year. If he plays well through that schedule, he'll have opportunity, right?
Well, I think so for sure. I like Trask. I think, you know, how he does this week will be very telling, but I really like what he's doing so far. Let's see if he can continue to build on it.
Well, we'll try and continue to build on it every week. Jim Mora, I'm Jason Fitz. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Same was plugged. My buddy's brother's Osborne put out a new record today. It's called Skeletons. Go check it out. Look, just trying to help my friends, Coach. Come on. And you guys enjoy a weekend of great football.